Yeah, should we do this?
Yeah, let's do this thing.
All right. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of shit.
Fucking it. You gotta
cancel.
Push-ups real quick.
Like disciplinary push-ups? Drop and give me 20. Oh, man.
Ah.
Every flub I do, I have to. Anyway. Fuck. It's been too long.
Yeah.
It's been too long, Max. I've lost my... my groove.
The cadence.
And I have to get my groove back. Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. What's going on, Max?
Not much. But why are you giving me that look?
Just waiting for your answer. Really interested in what you have to say. How are you?
I mean, as we were talking before, I spent a long time at the beach. We both had a little beach vacation.
Yeah, we are very tan and beautiful.
Yeah, I look good. But over that week, I subsisted almost entirely on cigarettes, which are very cheap in North Carolina.
Yep.
Takis, avocados, and Bush Light.
Interesting. Did you make any combinations of those four items?
Yeah. If you like take a Taki and then kind of dip it in an avocado, it's incredible.
Okay.
Like, hand to God. Yeah.
I could see that combo working.
I did not do any dieseling, though.
Yes.
I don't know how I didn't diesel.
Yeah, but maybe you should explain what dieseling is to the listener.
Dieseling is an act where you have a beer or a coffee, but you're smoking a cigarette and you ash the cigarette into the coffee.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you drop the cigarette butt in there and then you chug the rest of it, swallowing the cigarette butt in the process. And it's a terrible act that nobody should ever do.
Yeah, that's... I'm glad you didn't do that.
I did it too much in my youth.
Did you seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, God. How much fiberglass have you swallowed?
Like, quite a bit. And South Dakota was rowdy for that, dude.
You dieseled when we were in South Dakota?
Which is why it had to be coffee.
Yeah.
I think. So...
I don't know. Man, I don't remember that. You didn't make any kind of announcement or make a big show of it.
Spontaneously.
Just, you were the first to wake up and you immediately dunked a butt in coffee. And
dunk a butt, yeah.
Dunk a butt. We should just call it dunking a butt. Well, anyway, we're not here to talk about butt dunking.
I'm glad we both survived the ocean.
Yes.
To bring you this butt dunk entertainment that we've got here.
Yeah. It's good to be back. It's good to see you again, man. It's been a while.
That's very kind of you. Mostly because of all the Southside that I've been playing, which has made you very angry, and I'm glad that you've forgiven me.
Yeah, in the lead up to this episode, Max has been threatening me with how we're going to talk about Moby and...
Gwen Stefani.
How do I put this lightly? That song might be my least favorite song of all time. It hits all the marks. It's repetitive.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem to have any kind of meaning. It just jumps on the trends of the day of, like, put a sampled backbeat. Are you going to correct me?
I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that song's about, like, club kids in New York City. What's that Macaulay Culkin movie, Party Monster?
Yeah.
It's about, like, those kids.
Really?
Yeah, because it's, like, weapons in hand, we start to ride, hope we don't die.
Okay.
Like, it's about partying a lot and being really depraved and killing your coke dealer and melting his body in, like, a bunch of acid,
right?
Like that dude did.
I just thought it was like the death knell of gangster rap, where finally we have two white people talking about criminal violence on a radio hit. Yeah. With like a kind of electronic beat behind it, and it was just like, yeah, Tupac and Biggie are definitely rolling in their graves over this one.
And to make it even whiter, Gwen was coming out of her ska phase at that point.
Yeah.
So she was still known as primarily a ska front woman.
All right. Well, maybe we should get into it. State your case. Why should I care about this song? Or did you start somewhere else with...
No, I think that's going to come in a later episode. I don't know.
Oh. Oh, all right.
Yeah, I pivoted from that one.
Oh, all right. Well,
I just like playing it a lot. So Southside is a song that makes you, Dorian, feel like death.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of Southside and feeling like death, we should probably talk about our podcast topic for the day.
Now that's a segue.
That's a segue.
What do you have for us today?
Dorian, which band do you prefer more? American heavy metal band Megadeth or New Zealand rock band The Verlaines?
I've never listened to The Verlaines. I love early Megadeth, like Rust in Peace. Have you ever listened to that album? Uh-huh. It's fucking sick. So I'll go with Megadeth.
Megadeth.
But like early Megadeth, not right-wing Dave Mustaine Megadeth. Let's pass over that part.
Yeah.
Days of history.
Do you know what these two bands have in common?
No, what do they have in common?
They both have a song titled Lying in State.
Okay.
So the Lying in State Megadeth is 2016 right-wing kind of crazy Dave Mustaine Megadeth. Yes. So personally, I prefer the Verlaine's version of the song. I think their version of Lying in State is one of the best songs ever written. It's very good. So today, we are going to be talking about Lying in State.
All right.
And what that means.
I don't know what that means, but we should crack into it.
With the Pre-Dead Boys Crack Into the Topic moment. Still not brought to you by LaCroix.
At what point do we give up and just switch to a different brand?
Like Polar?
Yeah, or Bubbly, or just Kroger. Kroger brand seltzers.
It's got sulfides, man. You know what doesn't have sulfides? LaCroix.
Ah, fair point.
So, you may be confused as to why this topic is showing up on a death podcast. Because really, isn't it the politicians who are lying in state?
Yikes.
She didn't think we were going to get political on this one.
Oh, boy.
So, joking aside, we should probably talk about what lying in state actually is. Here's the definition.
Lying in state is the tradition in which the body of a dead official is placed in a state building, either outside or inside a coffin, to allow the public to pay their respects. It traditionally takes place in the principal government building of a country, state, or city. While the practice differs among countries, a viewing in a location other than the principal government building may be referred to as lying in repose. When the deceased is not a government official or is a civilian, the practice is referred to as lying in honor.
Yeah. So, in short, lying in state is kind of just having a public funeral viewing in a state building. But it can differ depending on the role of the deceased person. And also the government or religious system you're in. Personally, I kind of like what the Soviets were doing over in Russia with some of this stuff.
You commie fuck.
And I love what the Catholics are doing with some of their non-decaying saints.
Ooh, yeah.
But that one we're going to get into a bit later because that's a whole new world.
Oh, I'm excited.
So, would you say that the process of lying in state, like putting the body of a public official on display, is an ancient practice? Or a modern one?
I would guess ancient?
I mean, that's what I thought. But it's very important to remember that a body doesn't keep for a long time without being preserved. So you can, you know, you have the images of, like, the ancient Romans kind of, like, parading a dead emperor down a street and everyone's throwing flowers on it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta get that body in the ground quick. So lying in state partially exists so people can travel in to pay their respects. But in ancient times, that wasn't really possible. If you lived in some, like, podunk corner of the Roman Empire, like, New Rome, you know?
Rome, Ohio. Yeah.
By the time you heard that the emperor died, and you managed to ride your horse or chariot all the way back to Rome.
Or your sandals.
Yeah. Just walk all the way there.
Yeah.
By the time you got back there, that dude would have been rank.
Pretty stinky. See,
yeah, they're not leaving their bodies sitting out for super long.
Mm-mm.
So while I was researching this, I came across this really outrageous story. So I do a lot of research for this, like, in coffee shops.
Yeah.
Like the Clintonville Cup of Joe and Java Central are big ones. But, you know, I work in a library. Okay. Right. So sometimes we get nasty dudes coming in and they want to look at porn on our computers.
What?
Yeah, you can't do that.
How dare you?
So, like, we got to be, like, eagle-eyed for looking at the people who are sitting on, like, a corner computer.
Yeah.
And also they have a screen turned in, like, a really suspicious way, like, away from us.
Yeah.
And if I see that, I go, like, full SEAL Team 6, and it's like, I gotta, like, swing around behind him, and, like, we gotta cut the pie, and, like, make sure we can figure out what's on this dude's screen, and if he doesn't have a privacy screen up, we gotta, he's done.
Yeah.
He's out of here. But,
no porn!
No porn! But whenever I'm working on this podcast in a coffee shop, and I'm sitting there, and I'm typing, like, headless cryogenic freezing into Google, I feel like I have to sit in a corner,
yeah,
and turn my Chromebook screen towards the wall. But I'm also conflicted because I don't want people to think that I'm a nasty boy,
right,
just using public coffee shop Wi-Fi to do bad things.
Someone's like, Max, what are you doing? Are you looking at porn? And you're like, no, it's worse. Go away.
It's vultures eating corpses. Don't look at me. It's real. Rock in a hard place.
You are a nasty boy. Just not the skeezy porn looking at nasty boy.
Nasty boy.
You just look at dead people.
Yeah. And this was a story that I had to Google and I felt a little bit of shame about while I was doing it. But this is a story I found and it's outrageous. And it's about William the Conqueror, who ruled over England from the year 1066 to 1087. That's a photo of him.
He's got a very good facial expression. I feel like he should be on, is it Home Movies, the adult
show? Yeah.
He's got those lips.
Yeah. As an art major, I don't know how you feel about old-timey medieval paintings of people.
God, I love it.
Were they just winging it?
Yeah. Well, this looks like it might be not a painting, but some kind of embroidery.
It's a tapestry.
Okay, yeah. Oh, his feet are facing the wrong way. I'm so confused. He's riding a steed of some sort. Looks mid-stride.
Uh-huh.
This is a crop. This is good audio content. Dorian just describing
old-timey tapestries.
Yeah. My favorite, though, is just any medieval art of cats and dogs. Because you could have a human being sit very still and get a very good painting of them over the course of several hours. A cat or a dog, you can tell they had to just do their best with this moving animal that they could never figure like, out.
Give it some Benadryl.
It just, there's like basically just fur-covered potatoes with eyes and mouths that look really silly.
I've so never looked into this.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
I'll show you some later. While campaigning in France, William was injured when his horse unexpectedly reared up, thrusting the saddle into his abdomen with such force that it punctured his intestines. He died of these wounds shortly after. This was a problem. Oh. No one who had attended the king in his life in England was there to make sure he was actually buried. Enter Herluin, a knight who was induced by his natural goodness to undertake the charge of the funeral for the love of God and the honor of his country, said a contemporary historian. He procured at his own expense a hearse and decided to transport William's body back to England. This trip, around 70 miles, likely took quite some time. As the corpse slowly made its way to northern France, the bacteria in the late king's gut leaked out into the rest of his body, decomposing the tissue at a frightening rate and filling the late king with putrid gas. The trip was delayed by a fire that broke out in the city along the way. Then, a man claimed that the land the king wished to be buried in was actually his, and that his family had been robbed of it so that a church could be built. This resulted in a lengthy legal meeting. The delay had disastrous consequences. It caused the late king to inflate to enormous proportions in the heat. While trying to lower William into his final resting tomb, the king's corpse would not fit, and eventually, according to witnesses, his swollen bowels burst and an intolerable stench assailed the nostrils of the bystanders and the whole crowd.
So our old friend Exploding Corpses is back.
Oh, yes.
The prodigal son.
Blew up like a balloon, like a big fart balloon.
That would have been constant in old-timey days.
Right.
You know, you had no way of embalming.
Well, that's what you get for being such a bougie motherfucker that you need to parade your body around and then bury it in a faraway land. Like, get over yourself.
He was fighting a war in France. He had to, like, at least they decided to ship him back to North France, and they weren't like, all right, we're going to boat him back to England, because there was no way.
Ooh, he would capsize dudes. That boat at yeah. this rate.
Those dudes probably took one look at it and were like, oh, no, I'm not going on a boat with this thing.
I just like the idea that he keeps inflating and inflating and inflating, and people are like, fuck, 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 put him in. Please, God.
Just like, do the whole thing.
Do not explode on us. Oh, my God.
I like that they were like shipping it back, and then there was just a city on fire, and they couldn't do anything about it. Well, because they didn't have cars, they couldn't go around it. They were just like, well,
right. You know how that goes, though. Your commute to work is interrupted by just land being on fire.
Land being on fire. Well, like, you know, all these old-timey English idiots were just building their homes out of twigs and hay. Right. So, like, a fire just burns for 40 hours, and you got that king's body, and it's just, like, inflating from the heat.
Man.
Ugh. So I guess the moral is, if you're a old-timey ruler, you better die in the capital city of your country.
Or just, if you're going to go to war, acknowledge you might need to do a mobile sort of burial operation then and there, instead of throwing the dice and just trying to make it back home before you explode.
Yeah. Or invent a plane, idiots.
You dumb shits. Get modern technology.
Speaking of modern technology, because being able to put a body on display for an extended period of time wasn't really possible until modern refrigeration and embalming technology, the first person to lie in state in the U.S. was Senator Henry Clay in 1852. Prior to that, you had to get the body in the ground in, like, 3 days before the rot and blood coagulation and bloating starts to get real nasty.
Delicious.
Yeah. However, around, you know, the 1850s, the middle of the 19th century, embalming methods, transportation technology, and communication technology, such as the telegraph, were all starting to make major advances. This meant that if a government official, such as Abraham Lincoln, died, the news could travel quickly through the country, the decay of the body could be slowed, and people could travel to pay their respects.
Hmm.
So Lincoln's body was actually shipped from D.C. back to Illinois, where he was buried. And it actually made a stop right here in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, did you see it?
No, I was busy that day. I had to work. But if you can imagine having to do that before embalming technology.
Yeah.
And you're just having to ship this body really quickly. Yeah. And it's like on a bumpy train. You're like, oh.
Bezos could do it, dude.
Yeah.
Free 2-day shipping on that body.
Give me that Hyperloop, Bezos and Elon.
It's easy. Just treat your entire company like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You basically enslave everybody.
Yeah, it's good.
So since Henry Clay's death in 1852, 40 people have had their bodies on display in the United States Capitol building, including 11 presidents, Rosa Parks, and U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye, who was a senator, he was a military veteran, and he was also in one of the Japanese internment camps that we had during World War II.
Oh, wow.
So if anyone deserved it, it was that dude.
Yeah.
So now, we can turn our lens out from the U.S., to a couple other places in the world, where death practices are invariably, as we've learned, much more interesting.
Love it.
So, Dorian, how long do you think people generally lie in state for?
And this is if they're embalmed.
Yeah, embalmed well, you know.
I don't know.
Like, you know, the president dies, and how long are they going to have that body on display?
A few weeks? Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like a short amount of time, you know, because, you know, you want to get stuff going and make sure that you have a ceremony and all that. What about almost 100 years?
Is this a mummy?
It's not a mummy. It's turning into something weird, though, because 100 years is exactly what's going on over in Russia with Vladimir Lenin's corpse.
Oh.
So Vladimir Lenin was the head of the brand spankin' new Soviet Union when they kind of came into being,
yeah,
until his death in 1924. He ushered in the new age of quote-unquote social equality in the Soviet Union.
How did that work out?
Poorly.
Oh, all right.
Like, Lenin was not stellar, but Stalin, who came after him, was...
good dude?
Just kind of a... Stalin was so bad that Lenin himself, who killed, like, a lot of people in gulags and concentration camps, was like, hey, maybe we should get rid of this Stalin dude. He's he's bad news. But part of the rule of Lenin was founded on the cult of personality he built around his leadership. So if you're leading a cult of personality and you die, you obviously need to keep up that charade after you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't just want to be like, well, I'm this basically godhead leader who can tell anyone what to do and knows everything. But when I die, just cremate me and scatter my ashes or something like that.
Mm.
You know, you want to do it up big.
Yeah, you want a big show.
So as we previously learned in our episode on mummies and mausoleums, some people have chosen to build big monuments to their memory.
Right.
Not the Soviets. So Stalin, who took over for Lenin, decided to keep the cult of Lenin going from the second Lenin died.
On January 21st, 1924, Lenin fell into a coma and died. The government publicly announced Lenin's death the following day, January 22nd. On January 23rd, mourners from the Communist Party, trade unions, and Soviets visited Lenin's home to inspect the body, which was carried aloft in a red coffin by leading Bolsheviks. Transported by train to Moscow, the coffin was taken to the House of Trade Unions, where the body lay in state. Over the next 3 days, around 1 million mourners came to see the body, many lining up for hours in the freezing conditions. Lenin's funeral took place on January 27th, when his body was carried to Red Square, accompanied by military music, where assembled crowds listened to a series of speeches before the corpse was placed into the vault of a specially erected mausoleum. Despite the freezing temperatures, tens of thousands attended. Lenin's body was embalmed to preserve it for long-term public display in the Red Square Mausoleum.
How many of those people do you think went willingly?
I'd say next to none.
Like maybe Stalin, just because he was like, hell yeah, I'm ruling this place now.
Right. Everyone else like, yeah. Oh, Lenin. Really miss that guy. He's very good.
It's very cold.
Yeah, I like it. I like cold. I'm having a good time.
I like potato vodka. Vodka, as they say in Russia. Do they actually say vodka?
I don't know. You went like, that might be a little racist. Not all Russians drink vodka potatoes, all right? Not all Russians.
Hashtag not all Russians. Woof. So, Lenin gets dropped in this big mausoleum, surrounded by crowds of begrudgingly attending mourners, where he could obstinately lie in state forever.
Yeah.
That's why they embalmed him. They wanted his body to be viewable forever. Like, he's not buried or in anything.
Hmm.
He's just in a glass box.
Are you about to show me a photo of this?
There is one coming up.
Oh, boy.
But before we get to that,
okay.
Lenin was a genius. Yeah, you want the body to lay in state, but you also don't want to let a good brain go to waste. So, obviously, you got to figure out how that thing is ticking.
Lenin's brain was removed and kept in formaldehyde for 2 years before being sliced into 30,963 paper-thin slices to be studied and examined in minute detail to work out how the brain of a genius worked. Lenin's corpse was embalmed and placed in a wooden mausoleum in Moscow's Red Square. In October 1930, the Soviet government rebuilt Lenin's tomb, and he was placed in the marble and granite mausoleum that became the Mecca of communism until the fall of the Soviet Union, and where it still remains to this day.
It's a lot of brain slices. You think they got, like, a... what's that thing that they used to have on TV? Slap chop. Remember that dude, Lance?
Yeah.
Who's that dude? What was that motherfucker's name? He looked like a Lance.
Lenin. No.
He got, arrested for doing, like, a lot of shitty stuff.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that. I don't know. But the slap chop kind of turns it into mush.
Yeah, but I imagine there's this is like 30,000 slices.
I imagine this is like, have you seen the Resident Evil movie?
Yeah.
With the laser?
Which one?
Well, I think all of them have the laser thing because that was just the one thing that people liked about that movie. It's like, Mila Jovovich is pretty and the laser
is cool.
Cutting people is really tight. So we're just going to make 17 movies of just those two things.
I get the Resident Evil movies confused with the Bloodborne series? Or Blood Rain?
Oh, Blood Rain. Or, yeah,
Blood Rain. Well, and then there's something else. Twilight.
Are you talking about the video games?
Or no, they were Blood Rain movies.
Oh, yeah, there were like two, weren't they?
Yeah.
I didn't see those. I'm good.
I saw one in the old Carriage Place Dollar Theater.
Okay, if you're going to see that movie, that's the place to do it.
And I went with my friend Coop, and she just snuck a lot of beers in her purse.
That's also... You did it right.
Yeah.
It's very commendable, honestly.
There was a cop in the theater, but he didn't say anything.
What's he gonna say? Like, he probably would see you and just be like, I get it.
Yeah, he's like, come on.
You can't go through this stone sober.
No.
Not this movie.
Not Blood Rain. Underworld!
Oh!
Underworld is the exact same thing.
Well, Underworld is at least entertaining, but I don't know if Blood Rain is, because that was just widely panned as not even a, like, no redeeming values to those movies. Just total cash grabs and nothing more.
Did they ever make Silent Hill movies?
They made one Silent Hill live-action movie.
Okay.
It was alright. Sean Bean was in it.
Oh.
And, I forget, like, who else. Some other, like, it was a decent cast.
Thanks.
It was decently creepy, but... I didn't think it was any better than a lot of, like, haunted whatever movies that came out in the 2000s.
Yeah.
It's just kind of dime a dozen. It was also kind of following The Ring and The Grudge getting really popular, where those movies at least...
if you don't like this, write in.
email us, predeadboys@gmail.com, if you want Max to stop. but I think that they were riding that whole wave of, oh, to be scary, we don't have to explain anything.
Yeah.
And so horror movies for a long time are just these, like,
look at this VHS tape.
Yeah, just nonsense, no internal logic of any kind, just mysterious, crazy things happen for some reason. Silent Hill was kind of like that, unfortunately. It does not hold up, but it wasn't the worst.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get back to the topic. I got to tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
Because this is death adjacent.
Yes.
I had a woman come into the library. It doesn't matter. I had a person come into the library.
Yeah.
And she was looking for a movie, and I suggested Coco.
Yeah.
Because it's very good.
Yeah.
And she told me she didn't want Coco because it was demonic.
Okay.
And then she left with a copy of The Conjuring, which she had picked out on her own.
Did she read the box, or is she just like, I'm out of time. Give me the closest disc.
Give me the next one next to Coco.
Yeah, damn. She's in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's big laser things and slicing your brain up into tiny pieces.
Yeah, this has been the Film Corner with Max and Dorian. Once again, podcast within a podcast.
Podcast within a podcast. Do you want to see a photo of Lennon after they took his brain out?
1,000% yes.
Check it.
All right. He looks pretty good.
You know who he looks like?
Louis C.K.?
Vern Troyer in Austin Powers.
A little bit, yeah.
He looks like Mini-Me.
Yeah.
It's the angle.
Yeah, the perspective makes it look like he has a very short arm. But he looks remarkably intact for having his brain removed.
Yeah. Yeah, they've done a lot of work on this thing.
this thing being this...
human
this,
being.
This dictator.
So as you would expect... To keep a body on display, to keep a body fresh for that long, it takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You got to maintain that.
Well, maybe he's born with it. Or maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's chemistry. let's hop back into the film corner. Have you seen National Treasure?
Yes.
You remember how tough it was for Nick Cage to steal the Declaration of Independence in that?
Yeah.
Because it's got all the climate control stuff around it?
Yeah.
And the big glass boxes?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a piece of paper. Imagine how much more you would have to have around a body to keep the body from rotting.
That's probably a lot.
Probably a lot, yeah.
I'm going to steal Lenin.
Well, you know how the Russians will, like, buy up the rights to American TV series and then remake them? Oh, I didn't know that. They did it with Everybody Loves Raymond. And it's really crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's called like the Sparrows or something. But they should do it with National Treasure.
Yes.
And instead of the Declaration of Independence, he steals Lenin's body.
Yes. Yes, I would watch that. Just put Nicolas Cage in there. You know he's down to do it.
Yeah.
That would be wild. I would love
that. He's got to pay for his big New Orleans pyramid cemetery crypt thing. But luckily, we know who maintains Lenin's body. And it turns out they're a bunch of nerds. You know how, like, when you get really into D&D, you paint your own minifigures and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's basically what these nerds are doing in Russia.
By the way, I had a friend and an old coworker. He just made a D&D character and drew it and made like a stand out of Sculpey.
Oh, cool.
And Mod Podged a print of the drawing on both sides. And he made this little standee of his character. It was really sweet.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah. So shout out to the nerds. Like, we may have a lot of fun making fun of nerds, but respect. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that's rad.
I'll have to show you after the episode.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway, these dorks. These fucking dorks who are basically just putting Mod Pod and Sculpey all over Lenin's body. Yeah, straight up. I'm not kidding. Read this.
That's how you should just intro the bits that I read.
Read it. Go.
The job of maintaining Lenin's corpse belongs to an institute known in post-Soviet times as the Center for Scientific Research and Teaching Methods in Biochemical Technologies in Moscow. A core group of 6 anatomists, biochemists, and surgeons, known as the Mausoleum Group, have primary responsibility for maintaining Lenin's remains. They also help maintain the preserved bodies of 3 other national leaders, the Vietnamese leader Ho Chi Minh, and the North Korean father-son duo of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. The Russian methods focus on preserving the body's physical form, its look, shape, weight, color, limb flexibility, and suppleness. But not necessarily its original biological matter. In the process, they have created a quasi-biological science that differs from other embalming methods. Alexei Yurchak, professor of social anthropology at the University of California in Berkeley, says this: they have to substitute occasional parts of skin and flesh with plastics and other materials. So in terms of the original biological matter, the body is less and less of what it used to be. That makes it dramatically different from everything in the past, such as mummification, where the focus was on preserving the original matter, while the form of the body changes.
Yeah, so you got like all these horrible dictators who did horrible things.
Yes.
And then all these fucking like Russian nerds are just putting like Mod Podge and Sculpey and rubber cement and paper mache all over the bodies.
Who else can we preserve?
Yeah. It's like some weird group. And like, they do this real quick. Lenin's body is out frequently.
Yeah.
Like, it's out, like, most days of the year, so they don't, like, just bring it out for one day and then put it back. Like, it's out 360 days a year, and then they, like, kind of polish it up every so often.
Yeah.
So it's got to last, and it's super weird. Do you ever see Bicentennial Man?
Yes. Yeah, where they slowly replace Robin Williams' character, which is a robot.
A robot.
With more synthetic human-looking parts until by the end of the movie, he has outlived everyone in his life by 100 years or something like that.
But 200 years, bicentennial.
Oh, right. But yeah, he looks fully human by the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Just because of all the upgrades and replacements that they give him.
Yeah, and then they go like, congratulations, you've become a human. And he's like, but there's still one thing that humans, I'm not human. And they're like, well, you're going to have to die. And then he dies. And that's his transition. That movie fucked me up as a kid, man.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
It freaked me out.
Yeah.
But, like, Robin Williams was in it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is... Flubber had just come out. So I was like, oh, hell yeah. He's a robot. That's sick.
He's probably a real silly robot.
Yeah, no, he's a sad robot who gets old and dies a people death.
Ugh.
This is kind of the reverse of this. Like, Lenin is turning more and more into a weird
robot.
Robot, basically. They're making Robo-Lenin.
Yes!
Slowly, so the Americans don't find out.
Ugh!
This is what Russia was doing the whole time.
We need to stop talking about collusion. That's not the real issue. The real issue is that they are rebuilding Lenin.
Hyper-robo-Lenin. Fuck! I don't know, like, it says other materials, and, like, fucking, you saw how they made Sochi, like, that whole thing was slapped together. Like, it's just, like, wild dog hair and Mod Podge. I don't know, Lenin's coming up on his 149th birthday.
And he will be more strong.
And virile. And supple.
And supple. Why'd they have to say supple?
They said supple.
Suppleness.
Happy birthday, Lenin. So Lenin's coming up on 100 years of having his preserved body on display. But there's an English philosopher whose body has been on display for even longer. You ever hear of Jeremy Bentham?
No.
I didn't think I had either. I probably took a philosophy class where we talked about him. He was one of those, the moral decision to make is whatever creates the most happiness, like hedonist guys.
Okay.
That, you know, which just meant you were rich and white and didn't have to live in a debtor's prison in England.
Yeah.
So you were like, I can do whatever I want because it makes me happy.
How idealistic.
Yeah. But he died in, get this, he died in 1832 and has been on display ever since.
Wow. Are we going to take a look at this guy's mug?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't this outrageous?
Oh my god, he's so dandy.
Can you describe this photo? Describe what you're seeing.
All right. Inside of a wooden, like, telephone booth is another wooden telephone booth.
Yeah.
And inside that glass and wood enclosure is just, oh, this guy looks like such a dweeb.
It's like one of the goofiest photos ever.
It's fitting that this guy has effectively been shoved into a locker for all eternity. Because he's wearing just, you know, socks pulled up over his trousers. And he has a cane and a goofy... You know what that hat looks like?
He's got like a Pharrell hat?
Yeah, it looks like the Arby's Pharrell hat. And he definitely looks weird. Maybe made out of clay and wax just as much as human elements.
He looks like a fancy British schoolboy who's been shoved into a brown TARDIS.
Yeah. Like a schoolboy that was kept in there and had to grow up to be 70.
Yeah. The box that he's in was something that Bentham dreamed up, and it was called the Auto Icon.
Okay.
And he had this plan for his whole life. Like, he dreamed this contraption up when he was 21. And I assume on, like, a bender. But he died at, like, 70 and then left this information in his will still. So let's check out an excerpt from his will describing why he wanted to be preserved like a huge fucking nerd for all eternity.
My body, I give to my dear friend Dr. Southwood Smith to be disposed of in a manner hereinafter mentioned, and I direct. He will take my body under his charge and take the requisite and appropriate measures for the disposal and preservation of the several parts of my bodily frame in the manner expressed in the paper annexed to this, my will, and at the top of which I have written, Auto Icon. The skeleton he will cause to be put together in such a manner as that the whole figure may be seated in a chair, usually occupied by me when living, in the attitude in which I am sitting when engaged in thought, in the course of time employed in writing.
I'm gonna interrupt you for a second. This dude, like, this is what he was like, I want to be encased in this locker in the exact manner I was when I was living, and he's just, like, sitting there looking very bored.
Deep in thought, Max. Deep in thought. He will cause the skeleton to be clad in one of the suits of black occasionally worn by me. The body so clothed, together with the chair and the staff in my later years borne by me, he will take charge of and for containing the whole apparatus. He will cause to be prepared an appropriate box or case, and will cause to be engraved in conspicuous characters on a plate to be affixed thereon. Queen Square Place, Westminster, Wednesday, 30th, May, 1832. Yeah, this guy's a big old dweeb.
I don't know if he was a nasty boy, but he was a hedonist.
Yeah.
Like, that's the school of philosophy he belonged to. So maybe he was also, like, kind of a freak. I don't know.
I don't know. I just get big nerd vibes. Not even, like, the cool, fun nerd. Just the creepy dude in the comic shop who just spends a real long time looking at the weird comics with, like, large-breasted women and scantily clad clothing. And, like,
he smells like ham. He smells like prosciutto.
Yeah, just, I don't know about this guy. But he put a lot of thought into how he wants to die here, it looks like.
Yeah, which I respect him for. Like, good on him.
Mm. Was this commonplace language at the time, or is this just really overwrought?
Oh my god, that would be incredible if he was also just... I don't know how I feel about Bentham.
He will cause, and will cause to be.
Like, these people who are reading this are like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, we speak modern English. So, this dude was looking forward to being buried like this for over 60 years.
Yeah.
Like, he died in his 80s and came up with this in his 20s. What Jeremy Bentham knew, unlike the dumb idiots who we talked about earlier who thought that mummies were garbage and not cool because their eyes rotted out, Bentham knew that his eyes would decompose.
Yeah.
So for years, he would actually carry around in his pocket some glass eyes that he, like, wanted to be jammed into his skull.
All right.
After he was mummified, because he was like, I know my eyes are going to rot.
Yeah.
Put these cool ones in there.
That's a good idea. Honestly, I want to start doing that.
And if you look back at this photo, like, I don't really know how they did this. The dude who took care of the body, like, did not do a super good job, as we're about to find out. But it looks pretty good for what's probably at this point, like, a skeleton with a bunch of hay stuffed in it.
Like, yeah.
There's probably a reason he's wearing gloves.
Yeah. Yeah, they're hiding something.
You noted this earlier. The head on that body in particular looks interesting.
Real lumpy and weird.
And that's because the head on that body isn't real. Okay. They had a bit of a whoopsie in the preparation of the auto icon.
So on a scale of 1 to Ted Williams, how big an oopsie did they have with his head?
It's a pretty colossal oopsie.
Oh boy.
And you're about to... You're going to learn about it here. This is very good.
Bentham had intended the auto icon to incorporate his actual head, mummified, to resemble its appearance in life. Southwood Smith's experimental efforts at mummification, based on practices of the indigenous people of New Zealand, involved placing the head under an air pump over sulfuric acid and drawing off the fluids.
Just like how they do it in the indigenous peoples of New Zealand.
Yeah, that's a questionable leap. Although this process was technically successful...
Technically!
It left the head looking distastefully macabre, with dried and darkened skin stretched tautly over the skull. The auto icon was therefore given a wax head fitted with some of Bentham's own hair. The real head was displayed in the same case as the auto icon for many years, but became the target of repeated student pranks.
Like,
well, now wait. Wait a second. So I know, like, shrunken heads, that's a completely different culture.
Uh-huh.
But, like, surely they had to be aware of some things like this where, oh, when skin rots and when this mummification process happens, it just makes people look beyond recognition
bad,
deformed and weird. And yeah, you, like, you're burning skin and contorting things. How is Southwood Smith here surprised when he's like, oh fuck, when I mummified his head,
it looked bad.
It looked really bad.
There's a shrunken head on display at Kosai here, which is pretty cool. It's a real one.
Oh, nice.
But to do it, you skin the head and then you put, like, hot rocks in it and roll it around.
Right.
Because you're trying to make leather, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why it shrinks. Like, you don't buy a t-shirt from a merch table and then go home and are like, all right, I'm going to wash this on hot and then I'm going to throw it in my dryer with a bunch of towels. And
with a bunch of rocks.
With a bunch of rocks, and I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
Yep.
You're going to look like a dork. You ready to see a photo of the whoopsie head?
Oh, yes.
It looks so good, dude.
glass eyes shoved in too.
You know that you know that painting of Jesus from a few years back that that woman like painted over because she thought she was gonna fix it?
Yeah, she fixed it. Oh,
this
man.
This is kind of what this looks like.
Yeah, yeah, the lips are gone. Just looks like... This looks like a claymation, like a really horrifying music video made out of claymation for some, I don't know, like Nine Inch Nails song or something.
Like
just
the,
real horrific.
The video for Evil by Interpol with that weird little puppet is dancing around and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't think I saw that one.
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just love how this looks like absolute garbage and is horrific. But the eyes look real good.
Yeah,
dude.
The eyes look great. Just like baby blues.
They just thought putting a fresh ass set of blue glass eyes would make it look pretty good.
It looks like Snoke from the new Star Wars movies.
Yeah, slightly more symmetrical, but no less horrifying. Dude, talk about polishing a turd. The new turn of phrase should be putting glass eyes in a mummified head. Little wordier, but...
But it's good, though. Now, if you think back to your college days, your glory days...
when I peaked.
Would you have had any qualms about stealing this thing?
Hell no.
No, that would have been gone in a heartbeat. No, I would have been like, yoink.
I think I saw a lot of freshman projects dunked in trash cans that look pretty similar to this, honestly.
Yeah.
Same quality.
I love what Southwood Smith decided to do with this head... After realizing that he kind of, like, fucked up his best friend's final wish, is he was like, okay, so I cut his head off, and I made it look really bad. I guess I'll make a wax head.
Mm-hmm.
So he just took this, like, gross mummified head and put it on the ground between Jeremy Bentham's feet, and then sealed up the big old TARDIS box, and then just kind of, like, walked away.
Oh, no.
Just kind of, like... It's not there because a bunch of teens kept stealing it.
Okay. Bunch of teenagers were like, hey, this thing's pretty funny and cool. Yeah. We should take it.
We should just pop the glass off here.
Damn teenagers.
This guy just like set this in this box and then just was like... And some teens immediately walked up and took it. At one point, a group of kids stole this and held it for a ransom from the university. And they wanted $100 to be donated. And this is like, you know, old-timey dollars.
Yeah.
So they wanted $100 to be donated to a charity.
Yeah.
And instead the university donated $10.
What a bunch of assholes.
Yeah. But the kids still gave the head back. I don't know.
The kids should have held their ground because that was a good cause.
Yeah. So the great thing about the Auto Icon, which has an incredible name, by the way.
Yeah.
Auto Icon is really good. Instead
That's so
of having,
pretentious, though.
Yeah. Jeez. This just fits with this dude's whole, like, dork shtick.
Yeah. So full of himself.
Instead of having to go to Mother Russia to see a body lying in state for hundreds of years, you can just go to London and pop into the university and visit this thing.
Oh.
It's on display in, I believe, the Cambridge Museum. It's also worth noting that as much as we've been kind of ragging on Bentham for being a huge dweeb, no one knows why he did this, but the general consensus is that he was like a weird, eccentric dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of probably just did it for the goof. And he like wanted to be wheeled out during faculty meetings and be able to sit in on the meetings, which they've done on like the 100-year anniversary of his death.
Yeah.
But like, that's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he got the last prank, for sure.
And I guess if you're going to go for, like, the biggest ask you could ever make of your survivors after you die, like, this is a pretty good one.
Yep. I just love the goof with the head. Just, it's so hideous.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
If we ever make it to London touring the show, we're going to have to pop in and see this thing.
Bentham's head can be the honorary third host of Pre-Dead Boys. We need to get some post-dead perspective on this podcast.
Yeah, this tiny, foppish British head. Is fop a bad word? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, it's an insult.
Okay.
But I don't
think... It's not like a slur, is it?
I don't think.
Okay. No, it doesn't appear to be. Okay.
They said damn-dee fop on Mr. Show, so I think we're good.
Okay, yeah.
Because they never said anything offensive on Mr. Show.
Dorian, that's all I have about bodies lying in state. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add.
what could be added to this beautiful, beautiful sight of Jeremy Bentham's gross-ass head preserved for eternity?
Would you rather be Techno Lennon or Jeremy Bentham's weird, scaly head?
Like, who would win in a fight? Techno Lennon or just the sentient floating head of Jeremy Bentham? Holy shit, you know exactly what he looks like?
What?
You ever played any Castlevania games where you have to fight the floating Medusa heads?
Oh my god.
This is exactly what he looks like. I was never afraid of the concept of those Medusa heads until now, thinking about, like, dozens of these things flying at me and floating.
Well, because it's all, like, pixelated sprites, and you're like, I am not afraid of that. That's 2D.
But that's what they look like up close! Yeah.
But with snakes.
Oh, man, that's awful. What a horrifying and oddly beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing this, these treasures with me.
Thank you to Southwood Smith for fucking up real bad.
We're going to have piles of fun photos to share with y'all from this episode. And that's as good a reason as any to tune in to our Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at Pre-Dead Boys. And we have a Facebook group. It's got a lot of great people on it. Real friendly, real fun. Just go to Facebook.
A lot of good videos by Moby and Gwen Stefani in there.
Only the one, thank God, because that video sucks. Anyway, you can find our Facebook group. Just search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast. It'll be one of the first results. And hey, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. If you would like to support us more, that would be extraordinarily generous of you. Start by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. That helps us kind of get boosted up in the rankings a little bit more, get some more eyes on this podcast, more ears on it. We got a 5-star review.
Ooh.
From friend of the podcast, Sherlan. Thanks, Sherls. She's a good friend of mine from school.
Oh,
she's
great. Okay.
Here's what she says. Super rad. 5 stars. This podcast kept me from dying of boredom during my bus ride.
Oh.
Stay pre-dead, Sherlan. I listened to 7 episodes.
Holy shit.
I did not get sick to death of listening to Dorian and Max.
Oh.
That's quite a feat.
Wow.
She goes on, this podcast crams in a lot of interesting, well-researched information that isn't overwhelming and is paced well. Their jokes keep it lighthearted with dark humor and are still respectful of other people's practices and beliefs. I'm looking forward to finishing the episodes I have left to listen to and then continuing to listen when new ones come out. It's a very thorough review.
Yeah.
That's quite a commitment.
Come on.
Who knows? We might make some stinkers, so we won't hold you to listening to all the future episodes. But hey, thank you, Sherlan. Also, I feel like the best compliment we can get paid is that we are respectful of other people's practices and beliefs.
Yeah.
I know that we just called this dude a dork for half an hour, but to be fair...
Wait till you see the photo.
He's a big dweeb.
Yeah.
No, but you know, like, there's certainly plenty of people who explore death and, you know, other morbid topics just with reckless abandon and, you know.
Logan Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. Just doing some really insensitive bullshit. So I'm glad that we can do that.
Yeah.
In any capacity.
Yeah. I enjoy that a lot and appreciate that.
Yeah. So again, if you would like to leave us a review, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. I'm going to try and check Stitcher now. I don't know, like some people use Stitcher apparently.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a podcast host. So
people say it a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, tell us if you use Stitcher. What's it like? Is it good?
I'm not gonna take 3 minutes out of my life to find out myself.
If you would like to help us offset some of our hosting fees and some of the cost of just keeping this thing going, we'd appreciate it. You can go to ko-fi.com/predeadboys and leave us a $3 or more tip. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. You can check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's going to do it for us.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's everything.
Yeah, I think we're done.
I think we've covered all of the death.
I think all of it.
All right. Well, that's it. We're done making Pre-Dead Boys. No, we'll come...
The Lying in State one.
Yeah, just that
one. Oh, no, because we still got to get to the Saints.
The Saints?
I got a lot of Saint relics I got to talk about.
Ooh, yeah. That looks up. I think a shrunken head, if there's anything about that culture or whatever it is, that would be a cool future topic.
Yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah. Hey, drop us a line, too, if you have any episode suggestions. Pre-deadboys@gmail.com is where you can email us.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. Max and Dorian here reminding you,
you're gonna rot. This might be rough because it's bop.
Should I just read it like a nerd?
In my body, I give to my dear friend Dr. Southwood Smith.
No, I'm not going to do that.
My body, I give to my dear friend Dr. Southwood Smith to be disposed of in a manner hereinafter mentioned. And I direct.
What are you doing to my underpants? No, not another wedgie, no!
It's nuclear! We haven't even invented that yet.
My pantaloons!
Hoist by my own petard.
Fucking dork.
This fucking nerd.
This guy can't stand up for himself. He's been dead for so long, and we're just dunking so hard on him.
Dweeb, dude.
It's the hat. It's all the hat. I didn't know you were such a bully, Max. Hey, let's find a bunch of dumb dead dudes to make fun of. He is in a locker, though. That's hilarious.
Yeah.